This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.
When Ryan's is when it's time to begin, it's on the Rewind to Raw with John Pollock and waiting the 18 that makes sense of these things we see in the ring every week on TV. It's Rewind to Raw for Monday night, download it Tuesday morning from the Post Wrestling site. It's Rewind to Raw for Monday night on USA Now on the John and Wade Take the Mic.
I am still John Pollock, and Waiting joins me to your right. Hello, Wei.
Hey, John. Happy to be here on the free side of things on Rewind.
It is. We just went through the heavy terrain that was the news of the day, catching everyone up on all the latest involving WWE's launch in India on Netflix. New details that we got on the recent passing of independent wrestler Graham Moore. Also, Tuesday night, episode 2 of Dark Side of the Ring this season, focusing on Ludwig Borga, previewing that coming up, as well as all the latest news coming down involving Zack Snyder, Dana White, and Turki Alalshikh. What do these three personalities have in common? Find out in the news and find out what movie you probably will not be checking out or will at least want to consult with Rotten Tomatoes first. And as well, Conor McGregor and his hunt for presidency and relevance in his native country. What are his chances? We have a sneak peek courtesy of our friends at Sky News. But Wei, we are just hours away from April Fool's Day, the day I just absolutely detest. But we have no jokes. We are bringing only facts to you because this month we are coming out strong. It is WrestleMania month at postwrestling.com. And we are beefing things up for our coverage WrestleMania week. And Wei is going to be taking he's going to be kind of like our Dana White. He's going to be in an executive producer role that particular week. He will be overseeing and will grace us with his presence on. He only shows up for the big show of the year. We will be hearing from him on night two. But the man who will be one of many who will be riding shotgun with me that week is the one and only Shot from the Dark himself, John Cena, who is gracious enough to join us here for an earlier Rewind to Raw. How are you, Mr. Cena?
Yeah, shouldn't you guys still be watching Monday Night Raw at this time? What's going on?
Yeah, it's we've enjoyed this European vacation, but it's coming to a quick end. Before we talk about WrestleMania coverage, John, when you heard Zack Snyder's next film project would involve Turki Alalshikh and Dana White, did this grab your attention here? What are your hopes for Brawler?
Definitely not. I mean, I'm more on the Marvel side, as you can probably tell from my Legos in the background. So I am rather intrigued exactly what a Dana White movie might look like. I'm not going to be watching it in theaters, but I will look out for the Rotten Tomatoes review and see exactly how it worked out. But I will not be online watching that Brawler movie, unfortunately.
Well, you are going to be strapped to that seat all WrestleMania week because John and I are going to be embarking, along with other members of the post-wrestling crew. We are going to begin doing live shows daily, beginning Thursday, April the 17th, each day at noon Eastern time, covering everything that's going down WrestleMania week. So John and I are going to be kicking things off on that Thursday, and we're going to kind of do a whole preview of what's coming up that weekend, what to be watching out for, looking ahead to WrestleMania. And John, I know you will be watching a lot of stuff, and we will be coming back Friday at noon, Saturday at noon. Cena will be joined by Kate from Montreal, and then Sunday at noon it will be Davey and Braden covering NXT Stand and Deliver. This on top of our coverage Saturday and Sunday nights covering WrestleMania 41. So, Cena, we are going to be locked in and covering as much as we can. And what are you currently looking ahead to this week? And in terms of the lineups, is this a daunting task that you have undertook?
First of all, I want to thank you for giving me Easter / 420 off that Sunday. So I will be enjoying that with my family. Yeah, last I checked, there are 52 shows happening. And these shows are starting even earlier this year. They're starting on the Wednesday. I think the WWE ID tournament starts that Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm going to make it my mission to watch most of these shows, to be honest with you. I took the entire week off. It happens to be spring break, so my son is off from school, so I don't have to worry about any fatherly duties as far as that goes. So I'm gonna make it my mission to watch not every show, but I'm gonna be dipping in most of these shows out of the 52. But yeah, there's a lot this year. There's a lot. But the thing that stands out to the most to me is the fact that WWE is working with a lot of these companies, most notably GCW with Bloodsport. The Bloodsport card, every day they keep announcing something else. That's just like perking my ears, honestly. But yeah, I mean, the usuals, you have the DDTs, you know, the Mark Hitchcock shows are always going to have some of the best matches of the week for sure. But my number one question is, like, who's going to be like the Speedball Mike Bailey of the year? There's always like that one like Iron Man that hops in from show to show. And honestly, by looking at the card so far, I don't see like that one name that's been kind of like jumping everywhere, which I guess this is a good thing, because if I was like somebody in that position, I wouldn't want to be like a Speedball Mike Bailey. I wouldn't want to do three shows in one day. So it actually is refreshing to see that, you know, we don't see wrestlers doing like a dozen shows that weekend. It's more of a diversity throughout all these shows. So that was my number one question going into it. But it looks like from what I've seen so far, we're probably not going to get like that Iron Man person of the week.
Yeah, I mean, when you go through, like, there's a lot of, you know, non-WWE cards, but this is, to me, the most significant WrestleMania weekend that WWE just has such a stranglehold on so much that is going on, from, you know, lending its talents out to shows like Bloodsport. They're doing the ID tournaments and just all of the, even the non-wrestling events, like they have that Fountain Blue booked every single day with multiple events. It used to be you could go to WrestleMania and, you know, you would go to Mania, maybe you'd go to NXT, but there was so much else that you could occupy your time with. You could literally be someone that just goes as a WWE consumer, and they have more than enough. And I think that's always been the goal, is to, if you're coming in, how many of your dollars you will be spending on WWE. And that's going to be the case here. I think that's it will be easy. Interesting to see sort of how these other shows perform in comparison to recent years when you have sort of that kind of stranglehold on these weekends.
What are the matches that are catching both of your eyes at the moment that's been announced?
So far, most of the card for Bloodsport has really caught my attention. A lot of these, like, you know, promotions working with each other. You got Carmen Petrovic versus Micah from Stardom, Natty Neidhart versus Mio Yamashita. I know Natty put up a video today where she's like, I'm not Natalia, I'm Natty Neidhart. So that definitely stood out. So Bloodsport, I feel like, always gets my attention. But of course, you're going to have like your DDTs, you're going to have your spring breaks. I'm not going to lie and say that I'm not looking forward to this. I am looking forward to this senior scramble match just to see exactly like what's going to happen. Butterbean versus Suzuki. You got Suzuki versus Yoshihiko. Like any of those, like, you know, car crashing type of matches always stand out for me, but we're always going to get like the really good wrestling. And I feel like that's, no matter what show you choose, like you're going to get some enjoyment. Whether you want the comedy, whether you want the serious wrestling, that's the best part about like WrestleMania week, is you're going to find the card that's just for you. And you're going to find those cards that has a mixture of everything.
Yeah. So stuff will be going on throughout the week, but we are going to, again, launch these shows Thursday at noon, which the Thursday show we're going to do free for everyone. But then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, those will all be, Friday and Saturday, we will have post-wrestling cafe shows. And then we're going live on Saturday and Sunday night after WrestleMania. Night one, I will be joined by Neil Flanagan. Night two, Wei Ting will make some time for us to make his way to the basement and chat with us. And we look forward to getting a check-in from Mr. Wei Ting, as you'll have a much busier week, Wei, than taking in 52 wrestling shows.
Yeah, I'll be on my own bonus schedule that particular week, but I'm very much looking forward to listening, I'm sure, in between sleepless nights for myself.
Well, we are looking forward to this, John. I'm looking forward to doing all of these shows with you. And as if it wasn't a busy enough week, they threw Collision in as well on that Thursday night as well. You get Dynamite and Collision on back-to-back nights. That first Thursday has Stardom Show, the Mark Hitchcock Memorial Show, Collision, TNA Unbreakable, and Bloodsport. That is all the Thursday night. And pretty much all of the days look like that, with just a laundry list of shows that are all going down. So John will be with us. Tune in Thursday, April 17th at noon Eastern as we kick off our WrestleMania week coverage. We're going to have tons of reports on the site. Everyone will be, it'll be all hands on deck at postwrestling.com. And Sino, what else do you have going on this week that you would like to alert anyone towards?
Yeah, you can always check me out on the Poison Rana feed. Me and B Detroit just have a new episode of What Up, Though, where we're talking about the newest Avengers Doomsday casting, as well as some of our thoughts going into the builds of both AEW Dynasty and WrestleMania, as well as our regular like video game, music, movie talk as well. Obviously, every Saturday, me and Kay from Montreal in the Post Wrestling Cafe talk about Collision on Collision Course, and every Thursday, Shot in the Dark. Don't worry, I'll still have a shot in the dark that week of WrestleMania. With everything going on, I'll definitely squeeze in the shows that are going to get lost in all this mess of WrestleMania. And until then, I'll just be in hibernation because that week of WrestleMania, I'm going to be up for 5 to 6 straight days just watching as much as I can. I'm gonna be like the most in-depth coverage as far as like the most consumed wrestling. I feel like that's my mission this year. I'm not sure if the Guinness World Record, if there's anything out there of most wrestling watched in a week, but I'm going to try to find out and try to break it.
All right. Well, we look forward to it. Just hook an IV up to yourself. You're all good to go for WrestleMania week. So thanks again, John, for stopping by. And we're looking forward to hearing from you throughout WrestleMania week.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Thank you, Sino.
All right. So you can check out all of that. And we will be getting up all this information on the site. But wait, we should also mention some other highlights for the month, beginning in just a couple of hours, because we are going to be launching our latest Rewind Away. And what are we tackling on Tuesday?
SummerSlam 1997. If tonight's Raw wasn't enough of a special guest referee shenanigans for you, well, maybe this is one of the more famous iterations of that, with Bret Hart versus The Undertaker 1997, Shawn Michaels special guest referee. This is actually a really great follow-up to the Rewind Away we did not that long ago, covering Bret Hart's 1997 and his heel turn. So very much looking forward to chatting about that tomorrow with John Kleinchester, our executive producer.
Yes, we'll have a big deep dive into SummerSlam 1997. Very noteworthy show historically, not just for Bret and Taker, but of course, Steve Austin's injury and what was going on in the summer of 1997 for the WWF. Some very interesting things that I have dug up related to this event. So that's coming out on Tuesday. Later on this month, Bruce Lord and Karen Peterson, they're back this weekend with a review of Sakura Genesis, and then the following weekend covering Windy City Riot. Daredevil Born Again will be coming at you weekly from Rich Van and WH Park. We're coming up on episode 7 of Daredevil Born Again, so they will be concluding that series as it winds down later on this month. And then later in the month, WH Park will be getting together with me. We're going to be doing a special retrospective on Jumbo Tsuruta. We have about 5 or 6 matches that have been outlined by our Espresso executive producer, and we're going to do a big look at Jumbo Tsuruta. So that, Book Club, Collision Course, TNA Rebellion, all of it coming your way. $6 for the entire month's access, including all of the bonus WrestleMania shows. You can sign up at postwrestlingcafe.com, and that also gives you access to the XL editions of these shows where we go live right after the shows, news of the day, plus all of the Q&A and feedback at the end of the shows.
Ad free and time stamped. All right. I've heard from many of you that say that that alone is worth the price of admission.
You know, I've been told on the street, we got the best time stamps in the business.
On the street? Somebody told you this?
Yeah, I've heard it from multiple people. They've stopped me.
Somebody stopped you and said, hey, I got to tell you about those timestamps.
They fist bump me and note the timestamps. Wow. And I flex my arm. I'm like, I know.
John does a great job with them. Yeah.
Still appreciated. All right, everybody. We thank you so much. At the very least, like this video. That's the least you can do. But now it is time to head on over for our second trip to the O2 Arena. 15,828 tickets distributed from WrestleTix, and Michael Cole announcing 16,566, live gate of $10 trillion. I would love to know the haul for this European tour. It has to be just crazy. Maybe at the next earnings call, we will get such a indication. But we get our introductions, they're panning the arena, and out comes John Cena. And now we can say an entire arena of wrestling fans booing a cancer survivor.
We can, yeah. One of the big stories of the day.
Yeah, John Cena is doing a new campaign with Neutrogena for this sunscreen that is like invisible, that you just rub onto yourself.
I mean, now we're doing the ad, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. That's the gimmick. It's invisible. Enough.
You can't see it is the tie-in here. But in doing this, he revealed that, and he didn't give a time frame for this, when this occurred, but I'm imagining over the last several years, he had two instances of skin cancer diagnosis that he had and had to have marks removed, one from like his pec, another by his shoulder. And yeah, he had he got diagnoses of skin cancer on both occasions. So, and this was not something that he informed the company about when he was doing this. It was like midway through. So there's a tie in here, and he did an interview with People revealing this. So use sunscreen. It's a very worthwhile investment on your part.
Yeah. From what I read, apparently Neutrogena didn't even know about the cancer, and it was just the fact that John Cena is the "you can't see me" guy that made them offer it to him, and Cena happened to volunteer this himself. So I suppose now's as good a time as any to send that message. Sunscreen is very important, whether or not you choose to use this one that he's selling.
Yes. And maybe he didn't realize this. Maybe this heel turn could have been held off for a couple of weeks before this news came out.
Well, maybe it was supposed to be.
Well, so he comes out in his Union Jack line of apparel, and he comes to the ring. But before he can speak, out comes Cody Rhodes, and the crowd, they just sing and sing and sing. And Cody says, "We've heard you speak for 2 weeks, John. Now I'm going to have to do your job for you. Is this where you cook me?" And Cody goes through all the things of which John can roast him about. The fact that I've got a lisp and it's hard for me to say things with S's, like Stardust. And we do get a Stardust chant in London. He says, "I know what you can say, that I've got an arm tattoo, but it's on my neck." And says that you can bring up that I was booed in the company that I created. That I single-handedly launched and single-handedly changed the business with.
I got booed in a company I created. Isn't necessarily like one of even the top 10 things I feel like somebody would think about, when they're thinking about things to make fun of Cody Rhodes about. So
yeah, kind of tough for Cena to use that as ammo.
Yeah, or just like it's not even something that I that comes to mind for me, at least, like even in thinking about his AEW run, like what are the negatives of that particular run? Maybe Cena could have pointed out the "I saved racism" promo. Maybe that would be what stands out more. But okay, yeah,
maybe if they have a feud into like Black History Month, Cena will go there. So Cody says, "Your words have not matched your actions, and I think you've lied for the last 2 weeks. And you and I used to ride together." And he asks Cena to tell the people why. Cena explains, "I'm not going to punch down to your level, Cody. You've been protected long enough. I'm going to bury you, just like I buried everybody else." He says, "I don't bury people. I am talent. I bury mediocrity. And Cody, you have manipulated your way to the top. You're nothing more than my chauffeur. A slimy pickpocket who thinks just because he stole the blueprint, thinks he can run the kingdom." At this point, Way, I thought between like the lightheartedness of Cody's like jokes here and this delivery by Cena, I was like, where is this going? I thought this was brutal at the start. Like Cena was in his like heel voice, but we had more material here. So this was him just going. He says that Cody disgusts him. "You stole everything from me and drilled it into you to be authentic. I tried to drill it into you to be authentic. You're too polished. You're too rehearsed. You rely on lazy gimmicks like the fans singing to get by. Just like the Pied Piper, you trick the people to like mediocrity, and you are nothing beyond your entrance and music." He says, "I could body you before I even took my first breath." Cody states that he is still afraid. He says, "You are still afraid to show us who you are. You've given us a generic mix of every superstar you've ever loved or TV show you've ever watched." He says, "You're some big, confused blob. You feel like a 16-year-old still afraid of public speaking. And this is enough to trick these people nowadays.
Now, is that a reference to Cody actually taking acting lessons at the age of 16?
I don't think it would have been. Like, that's when he did go to act. I don't know if he was as young as 16, though. He was still in high school in 16. It was like his early 20s. He went to the Howard Fine School.
It seems like a very specific example to bring up, you know, unless it was there was some truth to it.
I think he was just trying, like, you know, that he was, because he was like, he was not doing, because he went to L.A. for school, for the acting school, and he was still doing like high school wrestling at this point. But he says this is enough to trick these people nowadays, and that you are a paint-by-numbers sociopathic Nepo baby. Your tattoo exposes you as just a common fan. You're just like them. I'm the last real champion. I will expose you for who you are, an errand boy that got lucky. And by the end of this, there were fans like that were kind of all chanting for Cena by the end of this, before Cody took his turn here. What did you think about the Cena portion here before we move on to Cody's retort?
Well, very much like you, John, I thought in general, I think Cena's delivery as the heel is still a little too over the top and cartoonish for my particular taste.
I thought this one was like really cartoonish, like in his delivery of some of this.
Yeah, there's still something about it that, I mean, for all of his sort of criticisms of his opponent not feeling authentic, I mean,
this heel character doesn't feel authentic 3 weeks in. Like, this feels like I'm John Cena playing the role of bad guy on the show, and I've always wanted to do this. And he feel like, compare this to, I mean, go like up and down of like your heel promos on
Drew, Punk, like maybe at his best, Roman even, I would suggest, you know. I think
he called him a pickpocket, a Pied Piper.
I don't have as much of an issue with some of the verbiage as much as the actual delivery. I mean, but again, I think we relax a lot of those expectations because it's John Cena doing it, and that alone has a novelty attached to it. Again, I bring up like Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan wasn't a great heel promo, but because it was Hulk Hogan doing it, that's what kind of made it cool. That's what made it work. But if we'd have to like maybe pick at something that I think was a negative, I still continue to not like Cena's delivery very much. I think the content was great in the promo. I thought he gave a very satisfying reason for turning on Cody, like something we've kind of been asking for this whole time. We know why he turned on the fans, but why exactly did he turn on Cody, and what exactly did Cody do to wrong him? And I think we got the answer here, and it's that he hates seeing somebody who he sees as being inauthentic holding the championship that he put so much of his own effort into. And I actually think retroactively, it actually does a decent job of explaining why he turned on the fans, because in recent weeks, I guess Cena had been complaining about the fans wronging him somehow. And we were all left confused because where exactly did that wronging happen? Because for the last several years, he's been pretty beloved as a nostalgia act. I suppose from this promo, we are supposed to infer that our wronging of Cena is our selection and our acceptance of Cody Rhodes as our champion. You know, sort of like maybe like, you know, you like an ex that you break up with, you want to be friends with your ex, but then you see who your ex is dating now, and it's somebody you completely despise. Now you're just disappointed in that ex. You might even be that, you know, angry at them. So for me, that all of that worked. What about you?
I wasn't as high on it as you. I thought that it was like, as the promo went, I think by the end of this, if I like break down a lot of the verbiage, it wasn't like my favorite stuff. But what I thought that this did accomplish is that, number one, like the audience really got into this. They got into like the jabs back and forth, which intensified throughout these like 20 plus minutes. And by the end of it, like you are creating this this divide between the two and trying to create this animosity between them and giving them the latitude to go to whatever areas the audience feels is crossing the line with one another. Like that was the idea here. By the end of let's keep going through this, and then we'll talk at the end of this.
Location, the lab. Quentin only has 24 hours to sell his car. Is that even possible? He goes to Carvana.com.
What is this, a movie trailer?
He ignores the doubters, enters his license plate. Wow, that's a great offer. The car is sold, but will Carvana pick it up in time for...
They'll literally pick it up tomorrow morning. Done with the dramatics?
Car selling in record time.
Save your time. Go to Carvana.com and sell your car today. Pickup fees may apply.
It's WrestleMania month on the Post Wrestling Cafe, and we are going to have wall-to-wall coverage of the events from Las Vegas beginning Thursday, April 17th. We're going to be doing daily shows on the Post Wrestling Cafe featuring myself, John Cena, and many more of the Post Wrestling staff. Plus, this month, it is two editions of Rewind Away as we cover SummerSlam 1997 and a retrospective of Jumbo Tsuruta. All that, plus coverage of New Japan's Sakura Genesis, Windy City Riot, Collision Course, and of course, Daredevil Born Again on MCU later. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door. But Cody gets his response. He said, "I was chosen, but I was chosen by the fans. You were chosen by one guy in an office who isn't around anymore and who we don't talk about."
Yeah.
Because he's the subject of a sex trafficking lawsuit that our company are also defendants in and are trying to stop the discovery phase from being entered into.
I think certain guys get special clearance to pull the Vince card from time to time. I guess Punk probably
we got a show to sell. We got a WrestleMania main event. We got to invoke Vince, Tony Khan, and and all things are on the table here. So he says Cena is the company creation, not me. He says, "I don't know why everyone's so terrified to go against you on a microphone, because you've got more dick in that promo than you do in your jorts." He says, "You hang out with Zac Efron."
What does having dick in a promo?
I don't know what this meant. I didn't know what this meant.
It sounds like, cool. You got dick in that promo.
Well, everyone That's went, a lot ooh, because he in said that promo. Dick. I was like, what does this mean? Like, he's got...
Maybe
he's
it's
like,
a British
thing. I'm not scared of going against you on the microphone because what, you got more balls on...
Not balls.
You're talking?
He's got dick.
Dick. He's got more
dick.
Which
I think is supposed to like be a form of saying like it's bullshit or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was someone's going to break this down for us, and I'm so thankful that someone's going to message us and explain to us what more dick in that promo means. He said, "You are the one that hangs out with Zac Efron and wish you were 16. And what you have is you created a lot of disenfranchised fans and ones who made it easy for talent like me to pack up and go elsewhere. So don't pretend you made this place better than when you found it," and asks which one of us sold out to The Rock. I'm not familiar with this name he brought up at the end of this question, but this being the idea here that, you know, this was at a time when the audience was rejecting the product that you were the poster boy for, and it disenfranchised talent and it turned our fan base off as well. So I liked where they were going there. This was the first time we had any mention of The Rock since Elimination Chamber. However, I have my own thoughts on this Rock thing by the end of it. This brought up his name, but this by no means connected anything. It was just like, this was almost like checking off a box so that people can't now accuse us of not bringing up The Rock since this pay-per-view. But I think you are still out to, like, they are still completely divided from the angle to this buildup that we are now 3 weeks into.
Yeah, it really just kind of felt like their way of answering the criticisms that they won't mention his name. Well, now that they could say they mentioned his name, but they still have not really tied him or explained his involvement in this storyline at all, nor John Cena's actual reasons for siding with him and how it plays into like the story that was set out before Elimination Chamber. At this point, though, I don't know if we can like criticize any more these particular two for not mentioning The Rock, or even the promo writers for not mentioning The Rock, because it really does feel to me like they kind of have their hands tied, and that the decision.
I'm not criticizing these two, but I'm absolutely going to criticize the storytelling here. Like, you can't heap all the praise when you shoot this great angle and then absolve that criticism when the follow up has been non-existent for biggest program of the year.
I guess, yes, but I guess like how often do we need to mention that, you know, like we know what the situation is. They are unable to mention him, and it's clear to me that it's intentional rather than something that's an oversight, right? So we continue to ask questions about what exactly is going on with Dwayne. I wonder if we'll get the story soon enough. I wonder if this time we'll get it behind the curtain, but we shall see. So any more recap to do for this?
There's plenty more here. Cody informs Cena, "You're still my hero, but you're also a piece of shit." And Cena says that your brain is full of feces instead of facts. Cena says, I was never protected from an audience. No one has ever been worthy of putting me in the ground, so I did it myself. No matter what garbage they gave me, I made it great. So he acknowledges, yeah, we were pretty creatively bankrupt for a long period of time, and I did some god-awful promos, but I did my best with what I had. Cody had to leave because at your best, you can't wipe my ass. And he makes, I make empires for billionaires. All you do is steal it from their kids. And this got a big, ooh, ooh, AEW, man. Edgy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Cena goes to leave. Cody brings Cena back in by stating, they never chanted, you can't wrestle at me. And this is enough for Cena to come back into the ring. And he teases going at it, but then he backs down. And as he goes to leave, Cody goes for him, and he hits him with the crossroads. And there is Cena, who sold this like he had just been blown up. He's on the floor, unconscious from this crossroads. And there's boos for Cena, and then Cody just makes the bullet signal to the WrestleMania sign as the fans sing for him. And also during this promo, it was confirmed that this will go on last as the other main event of WrestleMania. 24 and a half minutes and our first bit of physicality between Cody and Cena with 3 weeks to go.
Mm-hmm. I think this was the crescendo that we all felt was this was heading to, that we all felt was missing from the sort of weeks of back and forth promos. This little bit of face to face in ring exchanging of insults leading to their first physical encounter between the two. I guess second, not including the shot to the nuts. But I thought overall the segment was fantastic. I thought both had really strong material that danced on that sort of work shoot line just enough to make it feel memorable and to make it feel somewhat real. You know, I really loved Cody's, like, to me, this was a segment that really showed you the difference between a promo battle where two people work together versus a promo battle where two people are just there insulting each other again. And I hate to continue to bring it up, but Charlotte versus Tiffany Stratton, I think,
MVP last week.
Sure. Yeah. Those are the freshest examples that are in our minds. Where, you know, in those ones, it was just kind of clear, like, we're all going to go out there to try to embarrass each other. And one person might do well, one person might not do so well. This was a case where both of them had really strong material insulting each other, but it was clear that they were ultimately working together to make the feud feel balanced, and ultimately both guys hotter as a result. They were delivering great insults and then delivering great counter insults to those insults. And by the end, I thought they built up like a really strong personal animosity for each other that I think was what was missing from all of this.
Yeah. And listen, we don't have the foresight to look at this program where it was going to go, because the angle was incredible in Toronto that they shot. And I thought it was like, okay, for all of this, they shot this incredible angle and they can just ride this wave into WrestleMania. I don't think it's the case where they are just riding this wave. I think if you could look at it objectively, I was never that opposed to, because we knew Cody and Cena, what was the plan. What we didn't know was the turn was going to come for Cena. Mm-hmm. And I thought the idea of just Cody, this generation star, Cena, the legend from the past, that's a great buildup for WrestleMania. And I think at this point, granted, we have not seen the next 3 weeks. We will see what they have in store. But I feel fairly confident that doing the turn at Mania as the reason for Dwayne to back Cena would have been the play. That yeah. It carries you out of WrestleMania. I think these two, I think this is stronger going in if you have not turned Cena yet. And that is the reason that you could still do that whole Cody Rock buildup at Chamber. He turns him down and then Rock just disappears. And it gives him a reason to help Cena. It sets up the rest of your year. Because I'm just finding the Rock has been a massive distraction in this program. And now they are kind of taking the leftovers and making the best out of it. And you have two great talkers, two great performers to lean on. So I'm not saying this program is in any kind of damage, but I do think like this has been a program that has had to overcome the obstacles of that angle instead of having benefited from this one of their better angles that they've done in years.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So again, we are left speaking of The Rock as sort of like this generation's, and I mean this only in a creative sense, but this generation's Vince McMahon, who will use his power to come in and rewrite a storyline to his liking at the expense of maybe an original plan. That was the case last year, and they pivoted in a way that accentuated things. This year, I guess the jury's still out on whether or not this current story is better than what they might have originally planned. I will say, like, they certainly benefited greatly from the publicity they received from doing the angle in March, I guess, rather than, you know, April. And leading into WrestleMania, you can argue it's a lot more beneficial to do a big attention-grabbing angle before Mania rather than coming out of it just for the added attention and added press. So... But as an overall story, jury's definitely still out, especially with sort of like the awkwardness of the transition from Elimination Chamber to these present weeks where we've had to just kind of Men in Black, you know, Dwayne Johnson's involvement at all. But I will say, I thought, for me at least, I thought they did such a good job between the two of them here. I wasn't left coming out of the segment even thinking of Dwayne. Like I'm into these two now on their own.
Is this the strongest program for Mania this year? Of what has been built up so far?
Yes. On a mainstream sense, just like in terms of what it means, personally, that alone is enough to achieve that for me, regardless of maybe even the strength of the promos. But I thought you had a really great promo battle tonight. Support for this podcast comes from NordVPN. By now, a lot of our listeners already know about the benefits of a VPN for their wrestling consumption, helping them access cheaper prices for pay-per-views or ad-free programming through international versions of popular streaming services. But the most important benefit of a VPN continues to be its ability to help you shield your browsing. Using a trusted VPN like NordVPN adds an extra layer of protection from prying eyes, preventing your sensitive data from being sold or shared with third parties that may put you at risk of unwanted solicitations or even fraud. You know the link by now. NordVPN.com/postwrestling. Sign up for a 2-year plan for just a few dollars per month and get 4 bonus months through our exclusive offer. NordVPN.com/postwrestling. As always, you can try it with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Stay safe and enjoy all the benefits of a secure internet with Nord.
Pat McAfee is there for the second week in a row and is joined by Wade Barrett, who is with Michael Cole as well. So we have the three-man booth. New Day come out, and Adam Pearce tells them that in order to get a tag title shot, you are going to have to earn it, and your opponents tonight are the reunited New Catch Republic, as Tyler Bate is back out of being out of action since last July with a torn pec and teaming with Pete Dunne. Wade Barrett throwing out an added wrinkle to this story, noting that we are going to find out which team with new in their name is the best.
Yes.
It's like, and we're just giving this away before
the
WrestleMania.
New Nexus?
The new Midnight Express?
Yes.
Bate lands a tope con hero as Dunne hits a flying knee. We come back from the break. Long airplane spin by Tyler Bate onto Kofi. And then we get the rebound lariat into a German by Dunne to Kingston. Woods makes the save. And after Dunne snaps Woods' fingers, he is hit with the SOS. Bate gets yanked off the apron as they were looking to time this missed springboard. And he's taken to the floor, allowing Daybreak onto Dunne. And he was done in 8 minutes and 43 seconds. So the New Day win. And Kathy Kelly interviews New Day. They want their title shot. I mean, they won the match. They should want the title shot. Out come the Viking Raiders as Pat and Wade yell,
no,
Raw.
They're the War Raiders now, John.
Sorry, the War Raiders. My mistake. Yes, as Pat and Wade yelled, Raw is war.
Yes.
New Day and War Raiders look set for WrestleMania. That will be...
I can't imagine this will be WrestleMania. No, come on. WrestleMania for this? This feels like the Raw after WrestleMania, or the Raw going into WrestleMania. This just does not feel big enough at all. Like the New Day.
You basically need like 14, 15 matches between the two nights. Like, does this not qualify as one of your top 15 matches?
They don't have that already. Like, you're telling me that you need to make room for this, and thus all like what you got to put Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins and CM Punk in a three-way? Come on, I don't know.
You know, back in the time when they did pre-show matches, this would seem destined for the pre-show. But
I think the New Day have been very good, you know, since this heel run, but they have not had
they've cooled off in the last month.
And they haven't had strong opponents because the division is so weak. And at the top of the division,
this is the division, basically. Yeah. They just beat the the New Catch Republic. We just expanded the tag division by
the LWO are still around. Okay, like there's something going on there, but
they had a huge night on Raw tonight.
Sorry, is Ray still?
Ray wasn't on the show tonight, but
Ray's engaged in a feud with the New Day, right? So maybe he had been
in
the mix.
He had been. I mean, you could throw the LWO in here as we need more multi-team matches for WrestleMania, which is what this is starting to feel like.
I've been pretty disappointed in this war.
Oh, you know what? Ray's got the stuff with Gable going on, so that might be the pivot that they've gone.
You're right.
So that probably you would set up next week potentially.
So without that extra bit of star power, it's just hard for me to see New Day versus War Raiders as a tag team match on the pay-per-view. I think the War Raiders have felt very invisible as tag team champions. I forget that they're the tag champions half the time. They just have very little presence. And I think that's due to them not really being able to find a voice that's captivating enough for their position. So I see it for TV. If they need that extra match, maybe, sure.
Jimmy Uso's getting ready with Jay. Jay wants to be out there with him, but Jimmy's going to go out there. He says, Gunther is just a man. He's beatable, and we're both going to beat him. And Jay warns him, be careful, Apollo.
Pretty much, yeah.
There were highlights of Triple H and Cactus Jack's street fight from the 2000 Royal Rumble. And Michael Cole informs us that him and Pat have the honor that we have been allowed to host the WWE Hall of Fame. They have been given permission to host the Hall of Fame. What an honor for these two to be bestowed on. Mm-hmm. Then we got our celebrities.
Hold on a second. So who is that? Wade and Cole? Did you say?
No, Cole and Pat McAfee.
Oh, Cole and Pat. Okay. Interesting. Yes. Yep.
Our celebrities included Kate Nash from a recent episode of Turned Out a Punk.
Oh, wow. Cool.
It's actually a great conversation that they had. And then we go to Michael Venom Page, but they put the graphic up for Charlie Brooker of Black Mirror. But McAfee did catch the mistake and admitted I was just reading off the paper in order and they had it wrong. So he had a nice save here. And then Louis Capaldi taking in yet another night of WWE after Friday's SmackDown.
They can't get rid of this guy. He's just, you know. He's their
it takes your stardom a little down when it's like, oh, he's back.
You're
again.
Still there.
Yeah, wow.
Friday and Monday. Man.
Do you have anything else to do? Do you have a song to write or an album coming out? Gunther and Jimmy Uso. So Jimmy is sent into the barricade and hits a tope suicida, goes for the Uso splash, lands on the knees, and now Gunther hits Gunther gets stopped on top. So Jimmy hits the superplex and Uso splash. Gunther kicks out. Jimmy comes off the steps into a chop, and now Gunther just starts destroying him. Jimmy gets in his slap. This should be his new finisher, the slap. And then super kicks, goes for the spear, but is stopped at the shotgun drop kick. Powerbomb by Gunther. And then on multiple covers, Gunther picks him up at two, applies the sleeper, and the referee calls it off in 8 minutes and 37 seconds. Michael Cole just says, I fear for Jey Uso. I was like, you should fear for Jimmy because this isn't over yet. Gunther reapplies the sleeper when Jay sprints down. This was like Charles Robinson at WrestleMania coming down the aisle. He attacks Gunther, and Gunther retreats through the crowd. And as he's helping Jimmy to the back, Gunther returns, attacking both men from behind. Throws Jay into the steps, powerbomb this poor security guard onto the steps, and then zip ties Jay's wrist to the rope. And this was a super enforceable zip tie. Okay. There was no untying this zip. And Michael Cole yells, this is disgusting. As Gunther is just holding the belt in front of Jay, he hasn't gotten bloody yet. He's not doing anything. He's just like talking trash. He's like, this is disgusting. But then he belt shots Jimmy, and Jimmy comes back, and the man has, you know what? When it's WrestleMania season and you've got a twin brother headlining Mania, you gig for him, okay? And Jimmy,
you can, on this episode, it's the end of the tour. You can do blood. You can mention Vince. You could say shit, you know? Everything's allowed.
Yes. So Jimmy is just busted open. As Michael Cole notes, not just physical, but emotional torture. As he beats on Jimmy, puts the sleeper on, then he wipes Jimmy's blood all over him. Dude, by the end of this, Gunther is covered in this guy's blood.
He looked like Carrie.
I am sure everyone that was so outraged by Jon Moxley's spot last week are going to be equally grossed out and complaining about a man drenched in another man's blood. I'm sure that will be equally frowned upon. Great angle here. And they cut to the announcers. Dude, MVP, Michael Venom Page, is just recording all of this on his iPhone. He was loving this. But yeah, this was the beatdown.
You mean Charlie Brooker?
Yeah, Black Mirror creator himself, Michael Venom Page. dude, this was a pretty intense angle for WWE standards. That, I mean, they're very squeamish on blood, especially just a guy like lathering himself in the man's plasma here. But this needed to be, and a good angle.
Yeah.
Maybe the best angle they've done with these two since the match has been made. Like, I thought this was a lot better than I tripped going for the spear because I'm not confident.
Yeah, like, what are you comparing that to, John? Like, you know, the endless rounds of A-Town Down Under, American Alpha.
This was better than the singles match with Waller. Not as good as the singles match with Theory, but definitely better than the tag match with Waller and Theory.
Gotcha, yeah. So by far, like, I mean, I think we're finally getting something of substance. You know,
look at Jimmy here. Holy Christ, he's covered.
I mean, I don't recall too many times either Uso, you know, may have bled, and certainly not to this extent. So he got a good one for this particular evening, and the angle really needed it. I'll say, like, I kind of expected the beatdown to be a little bit more, like, intense, you know? Like, I expected Jimmy to be the one to take the power bomb on the steps, for instance. Or, like,
you know what the trouble is that so fresh in our minds is that just annihilation Sami Zayn took at Elimination Chamber and has still been gone. Like, this was a beatdown that, like, I thought it was effective for the night, but is this like the type of beatdown that you don't expect them to be around for WrestleMania to come back in? Maybe not, but they should sell this as like he's out from this. Like, they need
from
to
the
make
loss
this
of blood.
Yeah, he's
which makes all of AEW's wrestlers look like Superman or I guess appearing on Wednesday after their matches. Anyway, but the color really, really kind of made it. And it's the visuals that I think will be the lasting impression, you know, that'll be very useful for all of the video packages that we're going to see. Doing the zip tie, handcuffs, very effective, you know. So this takes Jimmy out of the picture, and we await to see how Jey Uso will retort with, what, 3 weeks to go in this storyline?
Maybe he's going to have his own version of Spike.
Yeah.
Two by four with nails.
Maybe dad finally shows up.
You're going to put me in the middle of the card on night one?
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chop-tees.com/post-wrestling.
There was a promo for episode 2 of Stephanie's Places. This will be with guest Cody Rhodes, where they took him to Center Stage in Atlanta to reminisce about his father. I sometimes feel bad for this guy that it's just like, you know, your father's death, it was obviously a very traumatic event, and it just feels like like every promo, every interview, it's like, we've always got to dig this up for you to go through. That's what I thought here. It's just because Cody has actually said, like, in the past about just, you know, constantly bringing up Dusty and all this different stuff. And granted, this isn't a promo, but anyway, that's what I thought here. Do you think you'll be tuning back in for Stephanie's Places after week one?
If I hear a good word of mouth, yeah, I might make an effort.
Bron Breakker and Penta against Finn Balor and Dominic Mysterio alongside Carlito. And we have the match begins, and they openly do acknowledge that Rey Fénix, the brother of Penta, they know, will be debuting on Friday. So they are going to be brothers on programming, although appearing on different shows, it would seem like.
Yeah. I guess I wondered if they would save the brother sort of reveal for a more dramatic, you know, moment. But
yeah, like a birth certificate reveal or.
Yeah, a DNA test.
Yes. But maybe after El Grande Americano, they're going to blood test all of the luchadors to find out who's who. Sure. No one's getting double paychecks.
Are you really American? Are you really from Mexico? Yeah.
Balor and Dom get sent to the floor, and Penta hits a Tope Hero. They go to the break. Heat on Penta for a while. Dom goes for the Three Amigos, but then Penta leapfrogs into a backstabber, and Braun gets the big tag, and he hits belly-to-bellies on both, and then Balor and Dom try to suplex him, and he stops. He verticals both guys together. This guy's incredible. Amazing. I love watching this guy, man. He's so entertaining to watch. Balor gouges his eye, and Braun just fires back with a clothesline, and then he lifts up Balor onto his shoulders. You think they're going for like a doomsday device, but it's Penta off the top, either with like a cutter or like this version of a sling blade. Yeah, that's what I thought. Kind of like a behind.
It was a Steiner Bulldog, but with a twist.
A sling blade, yeah. The Steiner Slinger.
Sure. Good work on that.
Dom prevents the Mexican Destroyer by holding on to Balor, and Braun goes for a spear, but misses Balor and spears Penta by mistake. Oopsie. And Balor sends Braun out of the ring, coup de grace, pinning Penta in 9 minutes and 10 seconds. And we'll get into more of this when they do the Judgment Day segment backstage, but it's Finn Balor pinning Penta and continuing his program here with Braun that is shaping up to be a multi-man for WrestleMania.
Yes. Good match. Kind of stuck to your WWE playbook for building to a multi-man match. We got a bit of friendly fire between the babyfaces.
Always happens with spears.
You know, I've always
done it a few times myself.
Crowd has been responding incredibly well to both Penta and to Braun Breaker. I think those two are sort of competing for that, like, who's next in line? You know, who really is the person who should be holding this IC championship in? The crowd is responding favorably to the both of them, and it tells me that you're probably going to move Braun Breaker on to a world title contender status sooner than later, because you have somebody like a Penta to take over this spot.
Pierce was with Chad Gable, and Gable notes it was a great signing of El Grande Americano. He would love to face him in the ring one day, but he is still sick, as he has his doctor's note. So Pierce explains, well, we are in your hometown next week. And Gable says, well, I'll be fine by then. But Pierce says, no, I can't allow you to wrestle there because of your health. But El Grande Americano will wrestle there next week because your health is the most important thing. I didn't know what this was.
So what is Gable's play here? Like, he's doing all of this.
He's weaseling out of wrestling tonight. But he doesn't want to weasel out of wrestling next week in his hometown, but he's not being allowed to wrestle in his hometown. But Pierce is letting El Grande Americano wrestle next week. But Pierce is supposed to be in on this, right? Like, he knows that Gable is El Grande Americano. So
yeah,
what's the issue here?
Why would Gable be disappointed, assuming that, you know, he's supposed to be wink-winking at us that he is El Grande Americano? I guess beyond that, so what is the intent here? Is this all done to trick Rey Mysterio and the LWO? Is that the whole idea? Is that what he's after?
If that the LWO think they're two separate people?
Well, yeah. What is the purpose of El Grande Americano from Chad Gable's perspective?
I have no idea, because in theory, they each have separate contracts.
It's not like Gable's been banned. Hulk Hogan did it.
As Mr. America. He's a he's an active wrestler who has a cold.
Okay.
Well, might have COVID.
Hey, gimmicks. I think the gimmick's over. So that's, I guess, enough justification for everything.
Well, we'll see what the reaction is like next week. Alpha Academy are there, and Gable calls them idiots. And Maxine wants to talk to Adam Pearce about her career. She has some ideas after speaking with Natalia. I so badly want Maxine to do Bloodsport. Yes. I mean, that to me would be, that's how you get Maxine to expand.
Yes. That's more of a spring break move, I feel.
That would be fantastic. Her and Great Sasuke together. Kathy Kelly is with Braun and Penta. Penta storms in, calls him stupid, and the officials are separating them after the errant spear, and Braun warns him by saying, "Watch your mouth."
Mm-hmm.
Think he's ever told his father that?
Yeah.
AJ's in the ring, waiting for Logan Paul to call him out, so he calls Logan to the ring. Logan comes out to a ton of heat. They're all chanting "shut the f up" at him. Have you seen what Netflix has been doing now when they chant the f word?
I have not. No, I didn't catch it today.
I've only been seeing people's responses to this. I haven't like fact checked it myself. Maybe I should. But apparently, they've been overriding the audio with "this is awesome" chants when there's chants really? That they need to censor. Yes.
Oh wow! I should pay closer attention.
Which is to me, if you're railing on a heel and chanting the f word. Putting "this is awesome" over it doesn't sound like a seamless edit in terms of like they're all chanting "this is awesome" at Logan Paul here instead of "shut the F up."
I suppose what else should they be pasting over top of it?
Booze? Like it's a heel response and you're putting a baby face chant over top of it. I don't know. I have to look and watch this, but I've seen enough people comment on this. Logan Paul mentions that he has a daughter and he is teaching her the art of forgiveness. And forgives AJ for what he did at Madison Square Garden. Styles says, "I have a daughter too, and I forgive you, Logan, for being the biggest douchebag to ever step in the WWE. He says, "You have all the talent, but talent only takes you so far. What are you going to do with it?" Logan says, "You know what they say, don't take advice from someone you wouldn't trade places with." And he calls all of the fans broke. AJ's ready to fight right now. Logan doesn't fight for free. He says, "This city can't afford me. You need a site fee for Logan Paul." And Logan proposes a match for WrestleMania. It was like, AJ was like, just going to wrestle him here on no notice. And instead, Logan got him booked at WrestleMania. It's kind of weird how this WrestleMania stuff works. Like Rhea Ripley is dying to get a spot at WrestleMania. And here AJ like just accidentally fell into a match. So Logan goes to attack him, but gets caught by AJ. He rolls to avoid the Styles clash, but then as AJ's going through the ropes, gets crotched, and then Paul introduces the pulverizer.
Second time he's done it.
Oh, that's right.
Against Ray.
Oh, that's right. He did do it with Ray. So, yes.
Great looking pulverizer. Move.
Oh, it looked great here. AJ took it tremendously well. Yeah. And
Kotaro Suzuki's a mass driver.
And the match was made official for WrestleMania afterwards. So we have this. Somewhere on night one or night two.
Yeah.
Middle of the card.
A segment came across really well because of the crowd and their hatred of Logan Paul. Content-wise, it was a very generic back and forth, you know? Like, you're poor. What did AJ call him? I'm sorry, you're a little bitch or something like that. Like, about as generic of a personal attack as you can get here. But it's fine. Like, I'm looking forward to the match. They're both acrobatics, and AJ leading Logan Paul into a WrestleMania-level match is a curiosity for me.
Well, maybe, Logan, you can give me some crypto advice.
Sure, yeah.
Jackie is with Lyra Valkyria and asks her, "What about WrestleMania?" And Lyra's like, "Yeah, I don't know about this year or not." She says, "I want to thank Bayley for having my back last week, but I can stand on my own two feet. And since I won this title, Bayley is the only one to beat me. And yet I'm still the champion. And the rematch is going to happen next week."
Okay.
Lyra Valkyria and Bayley for the IC title.
Yeah, yeah. So also earlier in the night, you had Liv Morgan and Raquel.
That's right. We had the segment backstage with the Judgment Day, and at the end they said, "We need to talk about Bayley and Lyra." So I'm thinking we're getting a tag match at Mania and not a IC title match on the card. That would be my
thought. Because
Bayley
think so.
Has nothing, and I would imagine these two fighting off Liv and Raquel, that's your tag title program for the show.
Yeah, an IC title match between Lyra and anybody else doesn't really feel that big enough at the moment.
Maxine.
Yeah, sure, we'll see. But a tag team match, you know, between the star power of Bayley with Liv, maybe they can, you know, work something out. Of the tag team matches available on Raw, I see Liv and Raquel getting on WrestleMania more so than the Viking Raiders.
I'm sorry, dude. You take out like the two or three big matches at Mania. It's like this undercard is very underwhelming to me. Like it just feels like we're throwing people together to get as many people on the card. And
there are definite weak spots of this Levesque era. And it's the tag divisions that still continue to feel to me like so much less than the main event. And you definitely the women's mid card.
Next week on the show, all they've announced for next week is this women's IC title match, El Grande Americano on the show, and Seth Rollins, who was not on tonight's show. No advertisement of Cena either. So
nor Punk.
Nothing. Like nothing big announced for next week at all. Judgment Day are celebrating the win as Balor notes, "I pinned Penta and I got the better of Braun 2 weeks in a row. So I'm on a roll. I'm going to go talk to Adam Pearce about getting a title match." So Balor goes and Liv points out to Dom that said he won, not we won. And she points out that Balor already lost to Braun, while Dom, you didn't lose to Braun. So I'm going to talk to Adam Pearce after Balor does. And Pat McAfee refers to her as Yoko Ono. And it looks like we're getting a multi-man match for the IC title, with Dominic getting a shot and Balor getting a shot and Penta getting a shot at Braun Breaker.
Yeah, maybe after this we can actually look at maybe the proposed card, or at least like what might be the card so far, and see how many matches aren't multi-man matches, you know?
It's a lot of multi-person
matches. You want to look at it now?
Well, a lot of the multi-mans have not been announced yet, but if we look at this, there's only five matches that are official. Or no, there's seven matches that we have.
Okay, there are a lot of singles matches, I guess, you know, and then you want to pad the rest of the night out. Orton versus
Owens. But what you're going to get is this four-way IC title match. You know the tag titles on SmackDown are probably going to be all five teams as well.
Again, if they get on WrestleMania.
Yes, I guess that's an if. But again, like we have, I guess, two matches are listed for night one. I'm looking at Wikipedia. Is this Orton and Owens is night one? Do we know that for sure?
I don't know.
I don't think these are official yet. All we know is they haven't said nights for any of these matches. But anyway.
Okay. Yeah. So there's still a lot of like singles matches, but maybe more multi-mans than we expected, certainly. You know? So anyway.
And then the main event, it is Io Sky, Rhea Ripley with Bianca Belair as the referee for the women's title. And Belair is getting involved early, separating them, really has her Shawn Michaels 1997 down pat here. And they note that Io Sky won Money in the Bank in this same arena. And with that, they go to the floor and Io Sky executes what has to be the worst looking Poison Rana I have ever seen.
Well, it was a botch, you know, timings seemed off and... Yeah, just very unfortunate, because this was supposed to be the one of the big spots of the match.
McAfee had to inform them what she was going for, that it was a Poison Rana. And Sky does a roll through into a double stomp, calls for over the moonsault, but Rhea stops her, places her on her shoulders, and Io tries for another Poison Rana off the top, but it's blocked, and Ripley hits a Samoan drop. And
I think it was actually Io hitting a top rope crucifix bomb, because Rhea was the one selling afterwards.
Oh, was she? Okay.
Yeah,
It was called a Samoan drop, I think. But
I think they misinterpreted it. It's one of those, like, a crucifix bomb is one of those awkward moves where it also looks like a Samoan drop. Like, it's essentially the same thing. Just depends on who's selling it.
Well, Sky hits a high cross, and Rhea blocked this high cross from the top by leaning in and headbutting her.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would try this in combat. That did not look fun. The Riptide gets blocked. Rhea turns it into a razor's edge with a Shining Wizard, only gets a two count, and she complains to Belair about the count. And we get multiple standing switches, and then it is a painful ref bump as Belair has to be in place as Rhea boots Belair by mistake, and Belair goes to the floor, hits the Riptide, but there's no referee to count. Rhea's pissed. Sky then eventually kicks out when Belair returns and gets into Belair's face, and then it's Belair yanking Rhea off of Io, and then Rhea nails Belair. So Sky hits a missile drop kick, and she takes out Bianca Belair by mistake. And at this point, Belair is sick of this. She's been hit by both women, throws the match out for a double DQ at 14 minutes and 41 seconds. Rhea attacks Belair. They continue to brawl. Sky hits a moonsault on both, and then it's riptides to Belair and Sky. The crowd chants for one more time, and so she hits Belair with a riptide off the second turnbuckle, holds up the belt to end the show, but it is still a one-on-one match as of now, as they just drag this out, because we still got 3 weeks, and we gotta just keep people at the edge of their seats. Will Rhea Ripley get into this match after destroying the two women that are in the match? So this is another multi-person match we'll get.
Yes, it is. Yeah, yeah. This match certainly had its clunky moments, more than I think you would expect, you know, from the talent of these two individually. But I thought in front of this crowd, it was definitely still overall effective in creating a big, big reaction from an audience that clearly saw all three women as stars. I was personally really happy to see Io like really get treated almost as like the biggest babyface of the three here. And when you look at the way that they've been building this entire feud up, Rhea Ripley, while Bianca has been involved in a storyline where she still looks very suspicious in this Jade Cargill attack, whereas Rhea Ripley, I think, has been, because of her frustrations, she's having to dip into a heel side of things a whole lot more, you know, in this match, attacking after the bell and everything. So I think like her transformation has made her more interesting overall as a character. I would love to see that come out in the form of promos a lot more. I know she's done some strong work in .com exclusives, you know, portraying, again, a new wrinkle to her character. I'd like to see it a little bit more in some profile pieces where she can just kind of talk about these frustrations a little bit more, maybe show a different side of speaking. But Io, like, seems to be, you know, the crowds are taking really well to her. And Bianca Belair, you know, is a tremendous performer. But definitely, Io feels like the biggest babyface to me. I don't know about you.
She's done well in this. I'm glad that she's injected into this program. I didn't think it was like the smoothest match, but all in all, I thought that this was an episode where I think it's I think largely your opinion is going to come down to the first 30 minutes of the show. I think that was really the high point of the show, was the Cena Cody stuff. And I think that's kind of carrying these Raw shows, to be quite honest, is the Cena Cody stuff. And that's where it's going to be. Guys, I like, even though there's like fine, like I did really enjoy the Gunther Jimmy Uso angle. And I mean, the IC title program, it kind of is what it is that they're building up. I'm not like super engaged in a lot of kind of these outside of your main event programs for Mania that feel like they are at that level. And we'll see what they have for the next 3 weeks to really get these programs up to that level where you're feeling it. But it just seems as though it's that there does kind of just feel like a bit of a malaise at a time when, you know, the company over this last year, they have not been in these malaises too much. And it does kind of feel that on many of these programs that they have been built up over time, but they just, to me, have not really clicked in that same fashion.
Yeah, yeah. Like other WWE PLEs throughout the past several years have felt a lot more well-rounded, I would say, you know, but than this, where it definitely feels like it's there's a lot of interest in, I think, Cena versus Cody and also Punk, Reigns and Rollins. But other than that, like it feels like there's less sort of I don't want to say effort, but like less maybe excitement, you know, for some of these other matches that are being put together.
And with Rollins, Reigns, and Punk, it really feels like a lot of the intrigue is like this favor, and more so like an angle being shot as opposed to just the match itself. Or, you know, the promos are very good going into it, but I think like that's kind of the crux of that, which is fine. Like, I think people are into this like plot twist that comes out of that match and paying off what this mystery is of the favor.
Yeah.
That was Raw. So thanks to everyone for checking out the free version here of Rewind to Raw. If you so choose, you can jump on board postwrestlingcafe.com, where $6 a month gives you access to the XL editions of the show, where we continue on after the Raw review, taking your questions and feedback, as well as going through the news of the day live after Raw each and every Monday night. Next week, we'll be back at our usual time. We will be live just minutes after Raw goes off the air, which will be exactly at this time next week. So look at that timing wise. I'm gonna miss these shows, Way. I know you don't, but I'm gonna miss the afternoon shows to a degree. But we'll say goodbye to everyone on YouTube. But hey, on the Post Wrestling Cafe, we're gonna keep going and head on over to forum.postwrestling.com. This month at postwrestlingcafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. Postwrestlingcafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.